You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Monday, December 22nd. A petition to recall Oregon State Representative Cyrus Javidi did not reach the number of signatures needed to refer the recall to voters. Katrina Nelson filed the petition in September after Javidi voted for a bill that would make it harder to ban school library books based on their content in relation to different religions, sexualities, disabilities, and other topics. According to Nelson, the petition received just shy of 3,000 signatures, short of the 5,417 needed to put the recall on the ballot. Nelson says she plans to work to increase engagement in the run-up to election season. Javidi switched parties and became a Democrat in early September. He was the deciding vote in the state House in favor of passing the transportation package, which increased Oregon's gas tax and other fees. In May, Javidi will be seeking the Democratic nomination for Oregon's House District 32. If successful, he will face a Republican challenger in next year's general election. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Washington State's longest-serving Republican in Congress is retiring next year. KUOW's Scott Greenstone has more.
U.S. Representative Dan Newhouse represents Yakima, the Tri-Cities, and Central Washington in Congress. In a statement, he said he's been, quote, truly humbled by this uniquely American journey that took a farm boy from Sunnyside, Washington, clear across the country. Newhouse is one of only two remaining Republicans in the U.S. House who voted to impeach Donald Trump in 2021. Trump has repeatedly endorsed Newhouse's challengers, but never managed to unseat Newhouse. Last month, a man from Tukwila pled guilty to making violent death threats against the congressman. A spokesperson for Newhouse did not respond to a question about whether that had anything to do with his decision. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
Residents of Longview, Washington, will have a new mayor starting in early January. OPB's Eric Newman reports.
A vote on the new mayor will happen during the first meeting of the new city council on January 8th. Mayor Spencer Boudreaux will leave his seat on the council after he lost re-election in the fall. Voters chose three new councilors during the November election. A new mayor will be chosen from the full seven-member group. The mayor must be nominated by city councilors every 2 years. There's no public role in the process. Longview operates under a weak mayor form of government. That means the city council votes on local policies, while the city manager carries out those priorities and oversees city departments and the budget. The mayor's role is largely ceremonial and includes being a representative for the council and leading public meetings. I'm Eric Newman reporting.
An outside investigator hired by the city of Bend completed a report this month. It discredits allegations of racial discrimination in City Hall. Catherine Steyer Martinez reports.
Former City of Bend Equity Director Andres Portela III is Afro-Latino. Bend is predominantly white. Portela said he resigned because of a pattern of racist incidents and lack of support. The city hired an outside investigator to look into his complaints. Their report said no one expressed doubt that Portela was spat upon or called a racial slur outside of work. The investigator found city managers handled workplace incidents appropriately, and they weren't responsible for the racism he experienced in Bend. The report's biggest finding was that Portela wasn't credible and concluded he mischaracterized certain events. Portela said by email that this investigation wasn't for him and was to make city leaders feel absolved. The city attorney's office said in an email that the city's committed to creating a safe and fair workplace for all. I'm Catherine Sarah Martinez reporting.
The first harvest of fresh Dungeness crab is in, and folks are lining up to purchase the long-awaited crustaceans. KLCC's Tiffany Eckert stopped by Fisherman's Market in Eugene last week and has this report.
People are showing their love. We've had lines out the door since we opened.
That's fishmonger Rob Kaiser. He says their driver got to the docks on the Oregon coast at 7 a.m. and brought back the first haul of the season. He says the crab has one of the highest yield tests he's seen in a long time.
They're 1.75 to 2.25 pounds. The starting price is $8.99 a pound. You will see that price rise as the days go and we make it to the docks, but as of right now, it's the cheapest it will be all year long.
Oregon's commercial Dungeness crab season was supposed to start on December 1st, but was delayed because Washington crabs did not achieve the meat fill requirements. Kaiser says that's okay. Crabs made it here for Christmas, and that's what matters. Tiffany Eckert reporting.
According to new data, Oregon had the largest increase of any state in unemployment in the past year. The state's unemployment rate rose from 4.2% in September 2024 to 5.2% just 3 months ago. Nationally, unemployment rose slightly to 4.4% from 4.1% last year. Oregon's report for September had been delayed from its usual release date in October because of the extended government shutdown. Nearly 1,800 U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service employees have left the agency in the last year. That's according to records obtained by conservation advocates as the Trump administration continues to cut the federal workforce. It's a loss of almost 20% of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's staff. In Oregon and Washington combined, it amounted to 50 senior-level scientists and staff lost. Locally, the Willapa National Wildlife Refuge recently saw the departure of its longtime project manager, Jackie Ferrier. She led the refuge for 13 years. In her tenure, Ferrier expanded the refuge, restored wetlands, and strengthened salmon runs. Experts say these staff losses could imperil species already endangered across the country. Despite the record rain in recent days, scientists say overall the Northwest region is experiencing unusually warm and dry conditions. At a recent meeting hosted by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, climatologists said snowpack in the Northwest is sitting at the lowest level for the region as a whole at this point in the winter since record keeping began in 2001. And they say the recent heavy amounts of warm rain melted some of the region's snowpack. The Northwest just experienced its warmest September on record, about 6 degrees Fahrenheit above normal on average, and the second warmest November on record. Experts say that because all of Oregon and most of southern Washington are seeing deep snowpack deficits, there could be ongoing drought issues in the year ahead. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Washington state leaders say a Trump administration order to force an aging power plant to keep burning coal is, quote, absurd. The Department of Energy issued an emergency order to keep the plant in Centralia open. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
The Centralia plant is the state's largest source of climate-harming pollution, and its days have been numbered for more than a decade. The legislature required it to stop burning coal by the end of this month, way back in 2011. But the emergency order throws a last-minute monkey wrench in that plan. The Trump administration claims the move is needed to prevent blackouts this winter. Governor Bob Ferguson and Attorney General Nick Brown say there is no emergency. Regulators of North America's power grid say the Northwest has enough electricity for this winter, though the region might have to import power from neighboring regions if extreme winter weather hits. The emergency order lasts for 90 days, though it can be renewed. I'm John Ryan reporting.
Oregon has created a new task force to help shape trash policy in the Willamette Valley. The 12-member group includes Democratic and Republican lawmakers, environmental advocates, a representative from the owner of the Coffin Butte landfill, and more. By around the end of next year, they must submit a report to the legislature on municipal solid waste, which could include suggestions for new laws. Benton County Commissioner Pat Malone is the group's chair.
In order for the task force to be successful, we've got to figure out compromises and how we can come up with a plan that everybody can live with.
Malone says the region needs more transfer stations to sort garbage and should be diverting more trash from local landfills. December can be a busy month for retailers as shoppers prepare for the holidays. That can be especially true for independent toy shops, who seek to set themselves apart from big box retail chains and major online sellers. Now they have another hurdle, tariffs. KLCC's Zach Ziegler reports.
For Richard Gooseman, toys have been a passion and a business for a long time. It started when he got a job at the Eugene Toys R Us, where he met his future business partner.
We worked there till about 2010, and then when we left, we missed toys so much, we decided to start our own thing.
Their own thing was Radar Toys.
So we didn't have much money when we started, and so we, you know, bought one box of toys at a time and sold online. We never bought anything online previous to that, and eventually put our first store up in 2017.
That means he was competing with the likes of Amazon and other big online retailers from day one before jumping into a market crowded by big box stores.
Competing with online is challenging, of course, because they can offer a lower price on quite a few different items. What we try to focus on is a couple things, one of them being just the overall experience in the store. And so these are little miniature sizes of different things, like a kitchen,
That experience includes a few arcade games, music that caters to young at heart shoppers who come to feed their inner child, and decorations that include a large Boba Fett mannequin and plenty of pop culture references.
It's a Disneyland-like experience here. And so that coupled with good customer service, knowing what we're talking about, because you're not going to find knowledge in a Target or Walmart, right?
Toy retailers are often competing on that knowledge, but they're also fighting what, in some cases, is a stereotype, that larger retailers, like those or large online shops, are cheaper. Sue Warfield is president of industry group Astra Toys.
We had one member that had a story about a customer coming up with a bunch of products and pointing out one and saying, this is XYZ price on, I don't know if it was Amazon or whatever, will you match it? And she said, I'll make a deal. I'll match that if you'll let me match all of them. She looked them all up and the guy said, okay, never mind, because they weren't all cheaper online.
She says waning sentiment about the economy hasn't seemed to affect how much people have to spend in toy stores.
So far, business has been okay, has been good. But there's a difference between dollars in and number of SKUs sold. And that's where the tariffs have made an impact.
Warfield says those tariffs have been the biggest contributor to rising prices and a drop in the number of items sold, especially since many toys come from Southeast Asian countries, many of which have tariffs of 20% or more at the moment.
We had a member that had $80,000 she'd already paid for in China. It was on the boat, but she held it because that was when there was the concern that maybe in November another 100% was going to be added. Well, there's no way she could pay that when it came in.
Gooseman at Radar Toys says he doesn't have the margins to eat the extra taxes those tariffs bring.
Well, it's pretty straightforward as we unfortunately have to pass the cost on to the customer. And so with operating in an extremely low single-digit profit industry, as toys are, unfortunately, as much as we love them, it is directly related to prices.
But as Warfield says, even when budgets tighten, toy shopping is often among the last items cut.
Most people, if they're going to cut gifts, it's not going to be for the kids in their lives. I mean, kids are the holidays, right? That's what we love to see, are the smiles on kids' faces.
And that joy is a big part of what keeps Gooseman in the industry.
From my perspective right now, I would say 100% of it is a labor of love. We don't make a ton of money. Really, we do it for the smiles and the joy of it.
Because who doesn't love seeing the happiness that buying just the right toy brings to the face of a little or big kid? I'm Zach Ziegler reporting.
You're listening to KMUN Coast Community Radio. I'm News Director Katie Frankwitz. I just wanted to give you a quick heads up about some changes during the news hours this week because of the Christmas holiday. Today and tomorrow, it's pretty much business as usual. The news hour starts at 7:59, opening with partner programming and going into local and regional news at 8:29, with the ship report beginning at 8:49. The evening hour will also remain the same beginning at 4:59, On Wednesday, Christmas Eve, and on Thursday, Christmas Day, we will be relying on partner program from Public Radio Exchange and others to fill out the news hours so that the news department can take a couple days off. The Ship Report is also getting a bit of a rest, and we'll all return to business as usual on Monday with our usual broadcast. All of that said, we will still be monitoring local news for any breaking issues that we need to make sure that you're aware of. So don't worry, we're still on that job. We have some great shows for you on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. If you feel like escaping from family a little bit in the morning or you're waiting for everybody to wake up, tune in at 8 o'clock or at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a great program all about tuna. It's one I actually really enjoyed, and I hope you'll enjoy it too. I am technically off this week. We'll see how that goes. You can still reach me if you need to by email, katie@kmun.org. That's K-A-T-I-E at kmun.org. Just be aware that it might take me a little longer than usual to respond to you. In the meantime, news host and producer Skylar Butenshin will be around and is happy to respond to any inquiries. You can reach both of us by emailing news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Or you can reach out to Skylar directly by emailing Skylar, S-K-Y-L-E-R, at kmun.org. Thanks so much for hanging with us this year as we go through just a whole pile of changes here during the news hours on KMUN. Thank you so much for all your feedback. We hope you have a great holiday. Stay safe out there.